Good evening. Welcome to our service this evening. If you'd like to open your Bibles and turn to a passage in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy, and specifically in Deuteronomy chapter 29. The book of Deuteronomy is a book in which Moses, just before he departs and is taken away by God, he dies up on the mountain. But before he goes, he delivers a sermon. And the whole of the book of Deuteronomy is basically just one sermon. It's God's law that Moses talks about. He reminds Israel of all of the law that had been given to them and the need to keep it. He talks about the need to keep the law. And he says, among other things toward the end here, that there are consequences, both good and bad. Good consequences if you keep the law and bad consequences if you don't keep the law. And then he says this in Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29. He says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law." I want to talk about this passage for a few moments tonight, talk about what it tells us about our obligations to the revelation of God. We're not Israelites of old under the law of Moses. We are under a new covenant, but we are obligated to keep that covenant. Just as Israel was obligated to keep the law of Moses, we are obligated to keep the law of Christ. And the principles that are taught under the Old Testament, principles of obedience and faithfulness, they are there to encourage us in our own journey of obedience to God. And we need to learn those lessons. We need to understand what God is communicating to us in these examples. And in this particular case, what God is saying to us is that we too have an obligation to keep God's covenant. But there are certain aspects of this, certain things about this, that, like the Israelites of old, we need to understand. And I think they're expressed in this verse very well, and I want to talk about them for a few moments tonight. And the first idea that's expressed here is this statement that the secret things belong to the Lord our God. There's a lot of information given to the Israelites in the law of Moses. There's a lot more information in terms of spiritual truth that is communicated to us through the law of Christ. We're told a lot of things. We're told deep things, profound things, important things, things that are needful and helpful. But we're not told everything. We should not think that all truth, all reality, everything that exists or could exist, or every thought of God or every plan or scheme of God, everything that God has ever done or said is in this book, because that's not the case. There are many things that God has done, is doing, and is going to do, which He simply does not tell us. There are many things that we even can imagine, questions that we have, things that we would like to have answers to that we don't have answers to. And for some people, that's troublesome. They have burning questions that they would like to have answered. They would like to know why God did such and such, or why God tells us to do so and so. And some of those answers in some places are given, but a lot of those answers are not given in the revealed Word of God. We're just not told. We don't know. Is that troublesome to you? Well, I hope not. For the very simple reason of what Moses tells the Israelites. Those things belong to God. And when you use the language, belong to God, that means that's for God to worry about and not you. That's for God to know and not you. That's God's area of concern, not yours. Now, we all practice this same principle in our own lives. We don't tell everybody what we're thinking all of the time. We don't tell everyone our plans or our thoughts about everything. It's not their business. It's our business. And there are many situations in which people are on a need-to-know basis, and if you don't need to know, then you don't need to know. You aren't going to know. Well, let me tell you something. When it comes to the plans and thoughts of the Almighty, that's certainly the case. There are just certain things that you're just not going to know. And you're just going to have to deal with that. Accept it. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11 says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. After that series of statements about all the things that exist in the world, and each one has its time and each one has its place, and God has appointed each thing to its place, and everything is beautiful in the appropriate time and place. It's all planned out. It's all orchestrated by God. The things that God has provided, they are good. They are beautiful, each in their appropriate place. And He has also set eternity in the human heart. There is within us a consciousness awareness that there are great and grand things going on, and we can see to some degree the vast scope of God's creation and the fact that it's all heading to something, and we have these questions, and we're curious, and we'd like to know more, and we'd like to find out more. But the reality is that a lot of that is just going to be beyond us. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Man, it's just beyond us. And beyond us means it's beyond us. Now, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to fume and fuss and be frustrated and let that gnaw at you and make you doubt God and question God because there are questions that you would like to have the answers to, but you can't get the answers to them? Well, if you do, then you're being foolish. Secret things belong to God. Now, that's not to say that we shouldn't ask questions. It's not to say that we shouldn't try to determine the limits and degree and extent to which God has revealed things to us. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But once you reach that wall, that boundary, and you determine to the best of your ability that the Bible just doesn't say, God just doesn't say, He does not answer this question, then the appropriate, the wise response to that is to say, well, okay, that belongs to God. This passage, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And in that particular context, God's talking about His mercy and His ability to save and deliver Israel. And many times people would say, well, I don't see how God can do that. How can God deliver? How can God save? How can God spare? But He can, and He does, and He will, and He can do so in marvelous and fantastic ways that we can't even begin to appreciate fully. But we don't have to appreciate it fully. We don't have to know completely. We don't have to have all our answers, all our questions answered. What we have is a God who has all of these things in hand, and we need to accept and trust Him. And that's very much the answer of the book of Job. You know, the book of Job casts out a question to which there never really is an answer. Not fully, not completely. And when finally God does speak to Job, God doesn't answer Job's question. He asks a question, a series of questions. And he talks about the limits of Job's knowledge and understanding, the fact that Job doesn't know lots of things. And yet these things that he doesn't know, that they work, that nature, the creation, it proceeds, it functions beyond Job's grasp to fully understand, and yet it works all the same. And the implication of that is that Job's just going to have to trust God and understand that God has these things in hand. And that might be a hard answer to have to hear. Secret things belong to God. But it's always going to be an answer to some of our questions, because we're not God. And we can't know all that God knows. We can't understand. We can't fully appreciate. And God doesn't answer. And He doesn't have to answer. And we need to be willing to accept that fact. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways. There's a lot of things that the Bible specifically mentions. It says, that's not for you to know. One of them is, you know, John talks about how, you know, it has not yet appeared what we shall be or what we shall be like. People want to know that. They want to know, what will we look like in the afterlife? They don't know. I don't know. Something wonderful. People ask about, well, when's the end going to come? You know, when's the Lord going to return? It's not for you to know. Or they want to know, well, what did Paul see in heaven when he went up into heaven? And Paul's answer is, I can't tell you. I can't answer that question. Or in 1 Timothy chapter 6, with respect to the very form of God, well, we'll get to see that someday, but not yet. And those answers that are not answers, those non-answers, are going to have to be, they're just going to have to be okay for now. The Bible does not answer all questions, doesn't pretend to answer all questions. It answers the questions that we need to have answered now. We need to be prepared to accept that truth. And Paul writes to Timothy, the evangelist, in 1 Timothy 4, 3 and 4, and he says, charge certain persons to not teach any different doctrine or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. You see, God gives us a stewardship that is by faith. We're going to talk about it in a moment. And it's a precious thing. It's a wonderful thing. And we need to take what God does give us and use it to the best of our ability and not try to invent or create anything beyond that. And that's always the temptation. The temptation that men always have had is when they don't have a good Bible answer for something, to invent one for themselves, to come up with their own answers. And to even promote those answers and teach those answers, and in some cases even to demand that other people agree with those answers that the Bible does not give. And that's bad. That's destructive. And when you find yourself getting a little creative and speculative in your answers, you need to dial that back and say, well, the Bible just doesn't say. And as an evangelist, as a preacher who gets peppered with questions all of the time, it's one of my favorite answers. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. And that's a perfectly good answer. It needs to be the answer when it's the truth. The Bible doesn't say. We don't have an answer. Don't make up stuff just because you want an answer. Well, that's that piece of what Moses says to the Israelites, but then notice what he says, but the things revealed belong to us. Now, this is the positive, powerful aspect of the verse. We do have something revealed to us. And it is in our sphere. And it is within our capability of understanding. It's for us. The revelation of God that we have is for us. And it's for all of us. It's not for some elite of highly trained or educated theologians. It's for us. It's for the people. And it's for us to read, and it's for us to study, and it's for us to understand, and it's for us to apply, as we'll see in a moment. It's for us. It's our. It's our Bible because God gives it to us. And we need to hold it precious, value it, use it. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. Who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man, which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Okay, so God has all of these wonderful, precious, marvelous thoughts, and only He knows what they are. Ah. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. Oh, so God, through the Spirit, revealed these wonderful, marvelous truths to the prophets, to the apostles, and they have them. Verse 13, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. The thoughts are in the mind of God. He, through the Spirit, places those thoughts in the mind of the apostles and prophets, and the apostles and prophets speak them using words taught by the Spirit Himself, and those are ours. They are for us. They are for us to hear and to understand and to know. To know the very thoughts of God, at least the ones that He wants us to have. In this passage in Ephesians 3, or that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery. As I wrote before in brief, and by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Now, the brethren in Ephesus that Paul's writing to, some of them were educated, highly educated people. Some of them were not highly educated, but they could read. And if you could read, then you could understand. You had a modicum level of capability of reading human language, Koine Greek, you could read it. Paul wrote it. If you can read it, you can understand it. It's for you. The mystery that is in the mind of God is revealed in the words that you can read and understand. The secret things belong to God, but the things revealed, they belong to us. They're for us. And I know some people push the Bible away, say, it's too confusing, I don't understand that. Well, they're not really trying very hard in a lot of cases. They don't want to know what the Bible has to say in a lot of cases. But just like reading anything, you have to read it. You can't just put your Bible under your pillow at night and hope that it seeps in. It doesn't work that way. You have to read it. But when you read it, and if you read it carefully, thoughtfully, you can understand it. It's for you. The things revealed are for you. Ephesians 3 and verse 5, which in other generations was not made known as to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed. The mystery is revealed. It may have been a mystery before, but it's not now. The mystery has been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. And you know, I wrote it. You can read it. When you read it, you can understand my insight. You think Paul had insight into the mystery of God? He absolutely did. He had as good insight in the mystery of God as anybody needs to have. And if Paul had insight in the mystery of God through the Spirit, and he wrote about that mystery and revealed it, and I can read it and I can understand his insight, I've got as much insight as I need. And I can have it. The things revealed are for us, and you are part of us. 2 Timothy 2:15. Now, you know, there's some things we got to do. Do your best. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Now, there is a stewardship that is involved. Anything that is placed in your care, it may belong to you, but you need to take care of it. You need to handle it properly. You need to utilize it. The word of God is just such a thing. You need to take your obligation seriously. This is our obligation with respect to what God reveals, to handle it properly, to read it, to think about it, take it in context, explain it, understand it. This is our duty, our responsibility. The things revealed belong to us. It's not simply a matter of a gift, it's an obligation. You're obligated to handle this thing, this precious truth of God, and share it with other people. And to our sons forever. Well, that means as it's been given to us, we have an obligation to pass it on, to share it with others, to share it with our children, to share it with our friends and neighbors, because that's what it's for. The things revealed are for us and for the people that we come in contact with and for our children, to share it with them. And again, back to 2 Timothy 2:2. Paul says to Timothy, what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That's part of this duty, this obligation that we have with the Word of God. The things revealed belong to us and to our sons. Teach them. It's part of what we're supposed to do with the Word of God. And then finally, this is something else that we're supposed to do with the Word of God, to observe, that we may observe all the words of this law. The Word of God is not just something to know. It's not just a bunch of data to file away in your noggin. The law of God is to be practiced. And it does you no good to know it if you don't practice it. Because that's what it's for, to observe all the words of this law. You can understand the words. Once you understand the words, then you need to observe the words. And all of them, you know, the full revelation of God as we understand it. In the covenant of Christ, it is our responsibility to observe all of what our Lord teaches us. Matthew 7:24, Jesus himself says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. You hear the words of Christ, you understand the words of Christ, you observe, you keep, you obey the words of Christ. That is what you're obligated to do. And again, James 1:22, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers, who delude themselves. Because a person can hear the Word of God and they can say, oh, that sounds wonderful, that sounds great, I understand that, I relish that, that's so special to me. But then they don't do it. And they're deluding themselves. They think that they've gained some tremendous benefit from being a student of God's Word, of hearing sermons, of attending Bible class, but they don't practice what they've learned. They're just fooling themselves. Useless. Useless to them. The things revealed belong to us for us to observe, for us to keep. That is what it's all about. So in conclusion, don't get lost in speculation about things not revealed. It's easy to do because, you know, it's really an exercise in folly, but it's entertaining. Speculate about this. Invent this theory or come up with this pet idea. And spend all of your time arguing and debating about things the Bible doesn't really answer. And doesn't obligate you to anything. It's just something that you do for your own self-satisfaction. But it's pointless. It's useless. You need to stick to what God actually reveals. That's where the meat and potatoes are. Devote yourself to these things that are revealed. Devote yourself to them. They're for you. They belong to us. Let's lay claim to our inheritance and put them into practice, because that's what they're for. Well, that's my lesson tonight. And if you are someone who has heard the gospel and you know what it is, you know that you need to declare your faith in Jesus and turn away from sin, you know that. What good does it do you unless you're willing to act upon that knowledge? God has revealed something to you. It belongs to you. It's for you. That God sent His Son to die for your sins on the cross. And He was buried and He was raised up on the third day. And He has ascended up into heaven and He exists there at the right hand of God, willing and able to dispense His mercy by His blood to wash your sins away if you will obey the gospel. And you know that. Take that knowledge and act on it. Come forward and say that you will as we stand and sing.